You're listening to another Woodshop podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Bee Trees Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 189 of Another Woodshop Podcast, where this week we are doing the Pete and Dan show. It's been a while since it's just been us girls, right? And I thought
it's
it'd
been
be
a minute.
Yeah, it's high time we got caught up on what's happening in our lives. And also, I'd like to reset expectations for our listeners so that, you know, when we bring a guest on to go like, oh yeah, this is much better. So yeah, Dan, what's going on, bud?
Not much. It's another week, another day, another dollar.
Another dollar and another patron.
Yes. I'm just actually lobbying. We do have another patron.
We do.
That was a very, very slick transition.
I try. I'm good at transitions and intros.
Speaking of patrons, we do have a new patron this week. It is David Beckwith. So thank you so much to David. We appreciate you. Fun fact.
Yes.
David usually joins us on the stoop every Saturday night. And if you don't know what that is, I'm sorry.
We finally wore him down, Dan. We got him.
So David is like a new patron. We appreciate you so much, David. Thank you very much. As always, we like to give a special shout out to all of our VIP patrons. And they are as follows. Charlie Coons from Stubby K Studio. Justin Frazier from Frazier Canyon Woodworks. Jesse McIntyre from Sage Hill Woodcrafts. Gillette Woodworks. Victor Aragama. John Mihoff.
Oh, no. They got us? Oh, no.
From Nick Brim Woodworking.
I'm sorry. Read that name again. What was that?
John Mihoff. I will go into detail. I will go into detail after I finish the names. Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pines. Bill Burkle of WTB Woodworking. Malcolm over at Bossa Nova Woodworks. Justin at Cavalry Customs. Patrick Gensel. Scott Shirk at Red Lake Custom Woodworks. Max and Mindy Coons, Stubby K Studio. Jacob Miller at a sweet shop. Fun fact. All right. So John Mihoff at Nick Brim Woodworking. That is obviously Nick Brim. And I don't know how he knows this, but John Mihoff is my Xbox name on GTA.
I think we all know, Dan. You've talked about it.
Have I talked about this
ones
before?
Of times?
Yeah. So that's Nick is
John
funny
Mihoff,
guy, apparently.
That's hilarious.
Well, it's because Jack is a nickname for John. So John is my
what?
Official name. Everybody knows that. Jack is a nickname for John.
No, John is a nickname for John.
Nope. Jack is a nickname for John. So JFK.
Explain this to my John's brain like I'm Russian.
John F. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows who John F. Kennedy
is.
Yeah,
we called him Jimmy.
He was the president in 1960. He was assassinated in 63. His nickname was Jack. Jack Kennedy.
Really? I don't know. I thought that was his brother.
Nope.
Isn't there like multiple Kennedys?
So, my gamer tag is John Mihoff, and obviously the nickname is Jack.
You know, sometimes I learn things on this podcast, and I go, I would have been better off not knowing that.
Yeah, I apologize. I apologize profusely.
You know, in Poland, we don't have fancy schmancy names like that for names that already exist. That's a lie we do.
Hey, I don't make the rules. I don't make the rules.
Literally, don't. Dan barely understands the rules.
I do not. I barely understand English. So here we are.
But you know who really understands English? WorkbenchCon. There we go. Transition. Guys, WorkbenchCon is 28 days away as of recording this podcast. That is carried to 2 plus, that's like 4 weeks. It's crazy. We're literally right around the corner. Dan and I are going to be there on Wednesday night. So that's very exciting. That's the night before. That's when all the pacts and the cults are like formed, and you hang out with those people for the rest of the weekend. And everyone's like, why are those guys hanging out so much? Like, because they met on Wednesday. If you're not coming on Wednesday, Thursday's fine too. Yeah, no, it's still a lot of fun. But if you are still on a fence about going to Workbench Con and you're like, oh, maybe, you know what, if it just sweetened the deal a little bit, well, guess what? Boy, do I have news for you.
If $50 can sway you.
Are you sitting, Dan?
I'm sitting.
Of course you're sitting. That's your default. So with code AWP, you can get $50 off of your ticket. And if you get that ticket and with that coupon code, you show that proof to us at the bar, I will buy your beer. So, you know, $50 plus a beer, it's like $54.
Well, not only is Pete going to buy you a beer, I probably will too.
Dan at least will give you a hug.
And a butt grab.
A butt grab, I mean, that's for all of our patrons. Any tier?
You know, with consent.
Except the free tier. No butt grabs for you guys. You get a pat on the back and a good job. Like you know, what all of us want from our fathers.
Well done.
Well done, son. I'm proud of you. Thanks, Dad. But anyways, WorkbenchCon finally dropped the entire list of all of their sponsors that are going to be there. So make sure to check out their website. There's some really good brands coming out. And if you want to try to meet them, get to talk to them, pick their brain, talk about their products, check out their site. Dan's pointing at me with a pen.
Not just that. They dropped the entire schedule for classes and everything like that.
Yeah, definitely check out the whole list. There's some really, really good classes. I'm super stoked to see these guys, I was going to say performing, but no, just teaching. So the classes are always great. You know, you can learn a lot from the lobby. You can learn a lot from the actual floor of the event when you're talking to brands and the other makers and creators. But there's always something good to learn in those classes. So at least check out the schedule. We're going to link it below in a description so you guys can check it out quickly and check out the sponsors too, because there's a really solid list this year that I'm super excited about. I'm stoked to go, man. It's going to be so much fun.
I am crazy excited.
You got all your plans? You got all your girlfriends ready for your flight down?
I don't know if I have all my plans. I do have my flight information. It's basically all
I need. And Braden booked the hotel, right?
Yes, he says he did. He says.
Do we trust Braden from Little Bug?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to be honest.
And then is Scott from Red Leg coming down?
Or yes, down, he is.
Sideways,
actually.
Up, whatever. So he is coming to Omaha to fly out with you guys.
Yes, Scott from Red Leg Custom Woodworks. He's one of our VIP patrons. He's actually about 2 hours from me. He's going to drive down to Omaha. He's going to meet me, Braden, and Nick Brim. And we're all going to go to the airport together.
Look at that, guys. If you're a top tier patron, we will let you drive 2 hours to meet us at an airport bar. It's pretty big. No, we've known Scott for so long from the Stoop again. And if you don't know what the Stoop is, message us. We'll talk. It's not a cult. It's a way of life. It's you, Braden, Nick Brim, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Nip I don't know Bring. Why. Nip Bring. Bring.
Jack me off from Brim Custom Catworks. For some reason, I thought that he wasn't coming. I got like real nervous. But that was
coming.
For Maker
he's
Camp.
He's coming. Maker yeah, Camp. He doesn't have an option. I threw down the gauntlet. I was like, you didn't come to Maker Camp. You have to come to WorkbenchCon, or we're not friends anymore. So,
and so who's in your room? It's you, Braden.
Oh
Nick,
my God! It's going to be a
and Patrick
S show. It's me, Hibbs, Braden, Nick, and our fourth somebody that Braden knows from like Dallas or something. I don't know.
I thought frightened. It was Patrick.
No, we don't like Patrick.
Not since the incident.
No,
we all know about
the incident. It's going to be. We're not going to be in the room other than sleeping, so it should
midday
be
naps.
Fine. It should be fine.
Night naps, night sleeps, and a midday naps. That's what it's all about.
I have yet to take a midday nap at WorkbenchCon. I know you're all about the midday naps, and I understand. I get
my
it.
My guy. Oh, because here's the thing: can I stay up
as far
all
as WorkbenchCon goes? The next day? I do not. I do not take naps.
Dude,
I am.
I could totally do it.
Balls to the wall 24/7.
I did that the first year or too, even. And the thing is, your energy level just fades more and more, and you just get more worn out. And then at the end of that wonderful, awesome weekend that we all share together and drink, and get belligerent, and guess what? I have to drive 13 hours home. So
yeah, well, I don't.
I was like scared to drive back. The guy got real tired in the middle of that.
We got a brand new car. That thing like self-drives now,
it does,
right?
It does. Yo, did I tell you that thing threw a code at me the other day? Brand new, not even a month old. And it gave me, and I know everyone's going to be like, Ford, fix something every day, whatever. Like,
found on road dead.
Yeah, whatever. Dude, I already heard all of it. But then it like reset itself. Anyways, whatever. Whatever. But anyways, so I'm all about the nap. Actually, why don't we talk Workbench Con a little bit?
Why not?
Because I want to talk about like, what's your like prep like, and what's something you like to bring to Workbench Con? Let's talk about that. Cause people are going to start doing their reels about like what I picked to Workbench Con, and you know, like my sleep apnea mask and whatever, like whatever, people bring these days.
I don't have much things
you got to bring.
I have a very short list. I don't have prep. Oh. I'm going to bring stickers, maybe a few stickers, maybe a few hats. Stickers. I've been throwing together hats because I've been buying hats on Amazon, and I've been buying leather patches and stuff. So I like to give out hats. I did that last year. Oh, excuse me. I did that last year and they went fast, which is super, super cool. So I'm going to do it again
this
year.
Okay, I'll take them. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not charging. I'm just giving people hats whenever they walk up to me. I'm going to do stickers. Maybe t-shirts of all the t-shirts that I've been making over the last few weeks. We'll get into that more during What's on My Bench. But as far as like what am I bringing, I'm going to bring an extra bag for all the swag that you're going to take out of there.
Good one. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good thing to bring.
Yes. I'm gonna pack all my clothes and all the necessities that I need into a carry-on, and I'm going to bring an extra bag that's just empty. Because if I've learned anything from the past years of Workbench Con, is you're gonna get a ton of swag. what is swag? I learned that from The Office, stuff we all get. Right?
Is that actually what it stands for?
I don't know, but it sounds good. It sounds good. It sounds accurate.
I'll allow it.
We're all gonna get like a ton of swag. Not only do we get the Workbench Con like bag of swag, but you're gonna get like stuff from random people and things of that nature. So I always bring an extra bag.
You can't fly with all of it.
Yes. There are things that you can't fly with. So in instances like that, it's nice to have a Pete who drove to Workbench Con.
I drove multiple individuals as his epoxy and other things to my house.
You can't fly with epoxy.
Yeah.
That's a no-no.
Epoxy, just a fun fact. So, like, if you're like at Workbench Con, you're all excited, you're getting free stuff. For some reason, Tight Bond is throwing entire bottles of Tight Bond 3 out at you. Mm-hmm. Think about are you checking a bag? You're not. You might want to put that down, or you might want to give it to someone.
I'm going to check an empty bag. I'm going to check an empty bag, and I'm going to come home, and it's going to be quote unquote full. So
I brought like 2 gallons of epoxy 2 years ago for Pat and Carlina. So like we drove it up, and then they met up with us, which we're still like 2 hours away from each other. But we met up one day, like months after Workbench Con, just to pick up epoxy and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. Good call. But yeah, extra bag. That's a good point.
I've been buying new clothes and new shoes and stuff like that.
Where are you buying those? The Gap?
No.
Marshalls? Oh, Temu?
No, Temu. I don't know what this Temu is that you speak of. I've been buying new clothes and stuff through Temu.
Guys, this is a whole new level of low, and I'm not going to let this one pass. Dan is buying clothes from Temu.
Temu, stop saying that.
I'm saying
it's Temu.
All right, backstory to this, but Keith had like a deal with them.
Keith
like,
who? Reached
out. Keith Johnson. Johnston. KJ Sawdust. He had a deal with them, and they apparently sent the audio file of how to pronounce it, and it's Temu. But the funny part was apparently they had also included like other people's videos that did the, you know, whatever product placement, and they all said Temu, like, because that's what everyone calls
it.
It's Temu.
It's Temu.
But Temu is just like when I cannot not say Toshiba now. Like Toshiba's.
Oh, Toshiba.
Name is Toshiba. So like anytime I say it, I say Toshiba almost for like the troll, like hipster, like moment where somebody goes, wait, what did you just say? Oh, it's my time to shine.
Oh, it's well, actually it's the proper way.
So. You can do the. Yeah. So but anyways, clothes from Temu, whatever. I can't even say it wrong.
Yeah, bro. Right. I've gotten stretchy jeans from Temu. They're fantastic.
Dan's they are fantastic. Close.
They're so stretchy. I don't feel like a fat tub of lard in them. And they look great.
Didn't we talk about this last week about the jeans we all bought or you guys all bought, the sweatpants jeans last year?
Not the same. Not the same.
Or not last year. That was COVID, which feels like last year.
That was
4 years ago.
4 years ago.
My God. Yeah. Jesus. Anything else that you're thinking about bringing or packing?
Well, obviously, I'm going to bring my CPAP so that my 8 roommates, they don't stay awake during the evening. So, you know, that's an important part of my daily routine now.
I mean, dude, you sleep better. Who cares?
I do sleep better. Yeah. I sleep a lot better. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'll bring the distilled water. I got you, baby.
Thank you, Daddy. I also bought a brand new pair of Hey Dudes because that's my thing. Hey Dudes.
Okay. All right. Look at you.
Yeah. I know a certain content creator from Wisconsin, Jeff from Temu, likes to give me a lot of crap for it, but ladies. I enjoy the Hey Dudes. I enjoy the Hey Dudes. That's basically it for me. Pete, this is your turn to talk. You can't. The silence is deafening.
My beer exploded. You didn't see me like trying to drink it all.
Oh my goodness. Mm. We've been doing this for 3 years. You can't just like sit there and not talk.
Yes, and you talk about more things about the
podcast. I'm done. I'm done. Oh my goodness. He's leaving. It's all me. Oh God, folks. It's all me. So Workbench
it's fine,
Con
it's fine.
Should
I got
be
paper
great.
Towels right here. It's okay. We're not that far away here.
Oh my goodness.
It's just
I was having fine. Heart palpitations know. with you gone.
Dan cannot be left alone on a podcast.
I can't.
You have no idea.
I can't.
I can't think of that many times where I left you alone to fill the space.
It's...
But I just want you to know that you walk away at least once a pre-show or podcast, or you're like, you'll be reading something and just silence. And I'm just like, so yeah, the weather today, it's just like filling the gap with noise.
you can't do that to me. I can't.
No,
my heart can't take it.
There's one thing that the last 4 years have taught us is yes. Anding. Yes. And is an improv term. By the way, I don't know what my local liquor store started doing, but I think if you store beer warm and that like real warm and then make it cold, it foams up. I think that's the science.
Are you sure they're not taking it in the back and just like paint shaker it?
It would be a real dick move if they did that. I don't know.
You know the paint shaker, like when you go to Home Depot or Menards and you get a can of paint and they put it in the paint shaker? Are they doing that with your beer can?
I went to Sherwin-Williams. They were doing that with our paint. It was great. Yeah. It's more fun to open. Yeah, I don't know. Just it's like historically the last like month I've been opening up beers on a pre-show and a podcast and they just foam up and it's just me there for 10 seconds.
Bro, you're having sipping. A lot of problems lately.
Oh, yeah.
Been wanting to talk to you about it.
At the end of the day, it's almost tomorrow, you know? All right, so I'll be quick with my list of Workbench Con items. So Dan's right. Like, yeah, if you're flying, bring an extra bag.
Yes.
Excuse me. Whether it's like a duffel and then you check the carry-on, like a hard case, and then bring the duffel on with you on a plane. I've seen some people check a bag, don't do a carry-on on the way over, and then the carry-on's inside their suitcase. And basically what they do is take the carry-on, bring it with them, fill it with clothes, whatever. All the swag goes into the check bag.
You know,
it's another extra thing you could do.
Worst case scenario, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
That's a great, great idea. Another very expensive, very dumb, don't do this idea is, I think this hotel also has a UPS store built in.
They do, actually. Yeah. Yes.
And they will bend you over a brown box and give it to you with the price. You're going to pay full price.
If you're desperate.
Exactly. But they will ship that. It's the same thing. Like, I used to go to conventions in Anaheim in California. There's a UPS store right there. And then at the end of every convention, it would be like giant statues and posters and whatever. And like, people are shipping that home, and it's like $100 to $300 to ship some of that stuff.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
But if you're hanging out at the show and you're one of the last people there and one of the vendors is giving away a bunch of stuff, it may be worth it.
It may be worth it.
Maybe.
Just so you know, on the last day, a lot of those vendors, they're not really taking that stuff home.
They don't want to take it home.
But you can take it home. Just, you know, make some friends. That's all we're saying. Speaking of making friends, has nothing to do with it. One thing that I want to remind everyone is that, yes, you're on vacation, whatever, but you can either Uber over to an actual like store, like a food store, you know, mm-hmm. Publix, or I think they have a Publix down there or whatever.
There's a Publix fairly close.
You can Uber over to a Publix, or you might have a friend with a car that will drive you over to Publix to pick up like a case of water to split between a couple of rooms. Like, you have water.
How adult of you.
Gatorade. Maybe honestly.
Pedialyte.
Maybe. All of you that drink, Pedialyte. At least one bottle. Or buy the mini Pedialytes or whatever. Like, 100%, I 100% recommend it. You want it. And it's not just for kids. It's for hangovers. Trust me. Trust me. But you can get some food and some snacks. So, like, you're not just relying on, like, anytime people go out, you have to get a meal, because like, you're not going to eat well. I had maybe one salad in 4 days, and it was like covered in Caesar dressing and chicken and cheese.
How awful.
It was the first night. How'd
you even survive?
One was at salad. The bar.
Oh my goodness.
But the other thing that we bring that I absolutely love is we have a
giant bottle of bourbon.
Well, that's a must. I mean, I'm driving. Bringing a bottle. I'm bringing a handle of bourbon, which is annoying because
the Jameson Orange, by the way, don't forget.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're bringing a bottle of that, Dan. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, 4 weeks away. You got plenty of time.
Guys, Jameson Orange. It's imagine on every way the opposite of the spectrum of Malort is Jameson Orange. Like where Malort hurts your body is the worst thing ever, and it could probably run a jet engine. Jameson Orange is like the opposite side of the rainbow. It's amazing. Oh my God. My neighbor got me hooked on it. It's the worst. The thing I was going to say is one thing we bring is a little small, like tea kettle, water kettle. Cause I have like nice ramen that we get. And I just like, I'll be hungry in the middle of the day or in the middle of the night. I'll come back to the room at like 2:30 in the morning. I'm a little drunk. I put on cartoons. I'm drunk. Emma's sleeping, heat up some water, I make some ramen, I eat some ramen before I go to bed. I wake up in the morning and I'm not like starving, dehydrated, all that stuff. Trust me, guys, that can go a long way. You know, you're there for 4 days. Enjoy yourself.
Moral of the story is, at the end of the night, follow Pete to his room. Get some ramen.
Also, well, here's the other thing. And I think, Dan, you'll agree on this. If Emma is out past midnight, and Emma is telling people, go to bed, go to bed.
Yeah, she's usually pretty like, right on.
I'm not like,
I think she saved my life at Maker Camp.
She saved both of our lives several times. She's been like, hey, maybe we go back to the room. We talked about this about Maker Camp. We're like, woo! And Emma was just like, Brayden, hey, we're going back to the house. And he was like, beer down. Good night, everyone. Walked away. Like we were just like, nope, boss says we're going back. And you know what? When we like, cause we still drank a little bit at the house and we woke up the next morning, we go, thank God we stopped when we did, because it would have been worse. So anyways, that's the moral of the story. Bring an extra bag. It's okay to get snacks and, you guys are going to have a great time. Sorry. Right. That was a long rant about that, but I thought we should talk about
Workbench Con. Yeah. What is on your bench?
What? No, damn.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Play the thing.
Play the thing. That clearly I've queued up.
What's on my bench?
Dan, what is on your workbench? What are your pros and cons? Yeah, what I did there.
Pros and cons. Pete, it has been weeks since we talked about what's on our bench.
Dude,
I feel like
so much must have changed for you. Like, I want to hear all about the new stuff.
Oh my God, there's so many different things in my life currently. It's going to blow your mind.
You learned how to read since then, right? That post got a lot of traction because of us.
Oh my goodness. That is disappointing. Yo, my life is my life, and Etsy is my life currently, so... no big surprises there.
My life. Sorry, it's so dumb.
I would have thought that my Etsy shop would have slowed down after the holidays, but that has not been the case. That's not been the case. No, it's not a problem. It's not a problem at all, fiscally speaking. But creatively speaking, it's a little bit of a problem.
Well,
because I had all those things that I wanted to accomplish for this year. And I realized the year is very young and I still got plenty of time to do those things. But my Etsy store is just bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. I've been doing that. It's bonkers. And Pete alluded to the fact that I released a new table, I call it the pick by DDWW. It looks like a guitar pick. And I put a reel out of me using it. And I was trying to act a little bit, you know, showing how useful it is and everything. And in the reel, I had a book and a cup of coffee. And
the book was upside down.
Of course, all the comments were about how we didn't know Dan knew how to read and, you know, stuff like that. So
all content is good content.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, my quote unquote friends are always there to
don't read too far into it.
But my bench is it's all the same. Same thing over and over. My life is a broken record.
That table is pretty cool. I gotta say, you've been pretty, you know, like your slide tables and whatnot, like that's something that like comes up in your content once in a while, but you have been fairly consistently every about 2 months or so brand new design, whether it goes to production or not.
I've been trying.
You actually don't showcase it enough. Like, you have become the side table guy.
I'm trying for sure.
I think you got to lean more into it because like you genuinely, you actually sit down, get drunk, come up with a new idea. There's that one part that's very small, but a very important, but like you come up with all these ideas. One time you were just on a stoop and you just like came up with a table design. And then next day you had it CNC'd and sanded and like sprayed, finished, glued, assembled.
I think that was the pick table. Actually,
that might be the pick table, dude. It's like one of those times where like Dan genuinely surprises me where he's like, has like a drunk idea and then the next like a high idea and the next day he's fully done product and ready to go. I'm like, what? This actually worked
out. I've also been ranting. No. I use those. I use the stoop as not only like a time to commiserate with my fellow makers and stuff, but like a time to brainstorm. And it's great for that. We're all on the stoop, we're all drinking and whatever, and there's no perception of
class or whatever on the stoop. And if I throw out an idea, you know, there's no perception of like, oh, Dan, you're so great. No, people will give you their honest opinions right then and there.
If it's silence, you know it's good.
Yeah.
The opposite.
So it's actually nice.
By the way, sorry to put a pin in that. If you don't know what the stoop is, I know we talk about it all the time. We're always, oh, it's a call we do, whatever. It's a Zoom call that's open to the maker public. It's every Saturday night. It's from 9 p.m. Eastern until question mark. I have gotten off of it the last 2 weeks at 4 a.m.
Yes.
You guys suck. And on East Coast time. And meanwhile, like, come on.
Last week, I was there until 3 a.m. Central time.
So, like, it's a great, you don't obviously don't have to stay up that late, but it's a great place for everyone to share their ideas and just BS and have a good time. So, back to you. So, you shared it on a stoop.
I shared it on the stoop. I got a little feedback. You know, I kind of went from there. But not only that, I've been dabbling with AI creation. We talked about this a little bit last week with Patrick.
I was hoping you would bring this up.
I've been dabbling with AI image creation, and it's been fun. And I'm turning it into t-shirts and t-shirt designs and stuff. And I'm not going to get rich off of that. I'm just having a little fun with it. I've literally sold, to this point, I've literally sold 4 t-shirts from the 8 or 9 that I've posted.
You sold a couple on a stoop alone.
Yeah, I'm not going to get rich on it, but it's fun. I sit down every evening. I'll put on the TV. I'll put it on YouTube, and it eventually it ends up on the Perkins Builders Brothers, whatever.
Have you talked about that yet, actually, on the podcast?
I don't think I have. I'll just pull up the AI program that I've been using and just kind of like mess around with t-shirt designs and stuff. And if I find something I like, I'll put it on my Etsy store. And yeah, it's been fun. It's just, it's a nice little release of creativity that I haven't been getting from making all the inserts and stuff. The inserts are fine, but it's mind numbing at this point because it's all the same. I've already designed them. There's no creativity there. It is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
listen,
been doing that a lot.
I've been enjoying all of them. They're all hilarious. And listen, if this actually like takes off in some way, like being able to do. So I don't know if you follow this account. I'm blanking on her name, but her account on YouTube is CU Online. C.U.online. And she basically, all she does is print on demand content, like how to start a print on demand Etsy shop, how to run it, how to monetize it, all that fun stuff. She talks about E-Rank. She does a lot of really good content on like Etsy and E-Rank. If anyone's looking to get into that space, honestly, even if you're not looking to get into print on demand, but still just want to learn more about E-Rank and Etsy, that's a great account to follow. I found her on TikTok, follow her on YouTube now. You should watch some of her videos because I think you'd be able to monetize that and actually get it to start getting traction. Imagine if your shop was doing an extra $500 a month in just shirts.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, you could stop buying Bud Light Cheladas. You can buy Bud Heavy Cheladas, you know?
I'm not saying it wouldn't be cool, but right now it's just a fun little thing I'm doing. And if I sell a t-shirt or two, that's cool, but...
No, Dan. You're thinking too small. You have woodworkers turning into hat guys. Why not a woodworker turn into a t-shirt guy? But you also don't have to fulfill it. Huh.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought. I mean, the hats are cool, but it takes work on my part, and I like not working physically.
You like passive income, mainly because it has the word ass in it.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're looking for, I guess if you're looking for cool little t-shirt designs,
check out Dan, I'm actually going to link the shirts. Do you have them in a separate category in your
shop? Yeah, they're in the DDWW merch section.
Merch. Okay, yeah. Definitely check them out because there's actually some really, really good ones, really funny ones. And Dan like literally works on this to add new ones every couple of days. So
yeah,
I recommend it.
It's kind of sad.
And also on a stoop the other day, him, Braden, and I figured out how to like get the shirts on. Well, it was mostly Braden and him. Like they got them on.
Yeah, Braden helped me out, and he helped me get all the designs onto Printful, and I was able to, you know, do the whole Printful store and everything. Yeah, so
if you guys have any questions,
huge shout out to Braden.
Yeah, hit me up. I've done a bunch of Printful stuff in the past. It's
I actually really had a service. I had a Printful store going, but apparently it lost its connection to Etsy, so I had to reconnect it. It was kind of a whole process.
So just to clarify, Printful is a supplier. They don't actually have a storefront. It's not like Shopify. You have to link it to Shopify, Big Cartel, whatever the other one is, like all the other companies, and then Etsy, obviously. That's your storefront.
Right.
They're just a supplier. So I literally made, if you're watching a video, speaking of Printful, I got bored and wanted to make this design, and it's basically not a knockoff.
It's my very logo similar.
Complemented by the designs of our Lord and Savior Costco. So it's basically a Costco themed Petrie's Workshop hoodie that I've been meaning to list on, because I made this for me.
Look, I like that. I like that hoodie. But the fact that it's white, it would get ruined in 2.7 seconds.
I've worn it all of 1.5 times because I'm afraid of getting it dirty. We're bringing them to WorkbenchCon. So whatever happens at WorkbenchCon stays in that hoodie.
Okay.
You know, as that old saying goes. But
whatever happens at WorkbenchCon stays in my hoodie.
Stays in my hoodie. What? You can't see white stains on white.
Oh, God.
It's fine. It's not weird.
My binge isn't that exciting. Of course it is. I want to hear what's going on with you because I know you got a ton of things going on.
I don't know what you're talking about. So I've been getting Island heavy vacation. Into bow ties.
Oh, really?
Actually, what I did the other day, I was like, I was cleaning up my bench, and you sent me a box of bow ties, and all the ones that I had in
years ago, dude, years ago.
Yeah, but like I don't do like tables with splits in them. Like I'm not gonna just put random bow ties. I'm saving them for when I need them. But what I did is, whether I use them or I don't, I can put magnets in them. So I drilled out little holes, put magnets in them, and I slapped them on my lev rack so they're around your logo.
Nice.
So yeah, I care about my Daniel Dunlap. So let's talk about this. I'll talk about the creative hole I'm in right now in a little bit, but we have our kitchen island that's been there for a while. It's just a builder grade cabinet. This thing is just super basic, and it's basically what would go up against the wall, and it's a simple frame, a toe kick on one side, which is where like your toes go under the actual doors of the cabinet. And it's been there for a while, and we were like, let's upgrade it. We got a new countertop. So we got this butcher block countertop that we refinished. And that's all done. And we finally pulled it out the other day. And I was actually looking at the construction of this cabinet, and it looks so poorly done. You know, it's 1/2-inch plywood, which is fine, but just like feels like weirdly flimsy. The entire back of it, because it must have just been fully open and be ready to be like tossed up against the wall. It's just 1/4-inch plywood. It's just so crappy. It's got no real like holding strength. I feel like if I put the countertop on it, I'm gonna have like buckling or something. So we were thinking like, oh, we'll just replace the back panel with like 3/4-inch ply and then put some brackets to support the actual countertop. But that's not really gonna work, I don't think. I think we're on a fence 50-50 between completely tearing that island apart. And if you saw some of my stories, you'll know what I'm talking about. Basically tearing it apart and building it from complete scratch, or trying to salvage this one. I really want to salvage it, mainly for the reason of I want to show, my viewers or people that follow me that like you can take a builder grade kitchen island and turn it into like a nice island if you just have a little know-how and reinforce it and whatnot. So we're going to see how that works out, but it's pulled out. It's in the shop. And the main thing that we're doing with this is, and I'm really trying to stick to it, and this time Emma is helping out, is we're actually recording everything. We recorded the intro, the table being done. We're going to try to do a YouTube video.
Stop it. Really?
We've been dragging our feet, but I think it's about time we do it. So we're trying, and I'm trying to take the approach that Keith taught me, which is I'm editing anytime I record something, I'm dropping it on a computer immediately into a folder, organizing it by that day or whatever part of the project it is. It's going into the Final Cut timeline, and I'm editing it down. So I'm trying that every day. I'm doing something so that when I sit down, I don't have 10 hours of footage, of which like 9.5 is going to be tossed out, you know? So I'm trying to be as smart with my time as possible. But anyways, we're going to try to do a video. So the kitchen island is getting done. That's also going to be a test. I have to build brand new doors. We're going to change all the front cabinet doors to drawers, like deep drawers, new fronts, new sides, an extra cabinet on a side. It's just gonna be all this freaking work, but it's gonna be worth it. And it's gonna be the test for my new Graco sprayer that we got, because I'm gonna start spraying the paint on there, and we're gonna see how it works out. If it looks good, we're gonna end up doing a whole entire kitchen. So that's for later in this year. Yeah, it's very ambitious. And on top of that, we've had this pantry project planned for literally a year. We started planning it right before WorkbenchCon last year. And all these little things kept coming up all the time. And the final thing was, like, we need to replace the window. So I was just, we have this full length, like 57 inch window. So it's a tall window. And if I put a countertop there, it would cover up about a third of it. So I was like, all right, screw it. Let me try to get the windows done. So I just brought it. I called some people and got some, or got them to come out to do a quote. We called Renewal by Anderson. Everyone knows the window people. Just to get me a quote. I'm like, hey, give me a quote on two of these windows and then give me a quote on the whole house, just because the windows need to get done in the next like 5 years or so. For the, you know, I'll start with the big number so that the small number doesn't sound as bad. For the entire house, 18 windows, two of them small, like bathroom windows, but whatever, 18 windows and one slider before any discounts. It was like $80,000+.
What the?
It was basically I could build a shop in my backyard with insulation, power, everything. Or I put in new windows in my house.
Bro.
Bonkers.
Jesus.
Then, but Dan, don't worry, bud. I've already done Renewal by Anderson windows 9 years ago. Price couldn't have changed that much, right? It's only been 9 years. I did 20 windows in Clifton in my old house. We paid $26,000, which is a lot, but they're really good quality windows. And we're going from single pane to really nice ones. So we're happy to do it. With the discount, it was 50 and change, like 56 or something like that. No. So that's with the discount, with the, you know, returning customer discount, $56,000.
Lord, no.
I was like, hey, that's great. Yeah. Cool. We'll be in touch. We'll not be in touch, because then I had Home Depot come out today for two windows just to replace. Oh, by the way, two windows was $8,500.
That's still too much.
That's disgustingly high. So when I talked to Home Depot, the entire house, $15,000, two windows, $2,000. So for like $8,500, what they wanted for two windows, Home Depot will do half my house. So like, and then that's not, you know, like, that's not even asking like an actual like window guy. That's going to like bigger brands and whatnot. So we're going to figure that out. We're just trying to get everything priced out. But at the end of the day, it's looking like, at least for the pantry, I will be taking a window out. I'll be framing out, because it's actually, we're going shorter with the window. So we're going from 57 to a 40 inch window. So I have to frame it out, put in insulation, waterproof it, put in siding. We have some extra siding pieces in a basement. So I'm literally going to be replacing that whole part, because even like Home Depot and Renewal, their price for them to adjust the window size and actually frame out my house to adjust for the new size is like thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So anyways, if you have any experience framing out a window of a different size, reach out to me. I would love some advice, because this is something I'm not willing to pay for. It's bonkers. So if you're looking to upgrade windows in your house or something like that, don't.
I'm not a wealth of knowledge in this department, but I will tell you that from what I understand and from what I know, it's not that hard to do it yourself. Save yourself a ton of money and do it yourself. Not only are you going to save yourself money, but you are going to create some great content, which you could turn around and probably make a little bit of money off of.
So
in turn,
here's my thought. At my old house with the windows over there, or even a house before that, if I had to replace the windows, I would have been like, yep, okay, sure, not a problem. Because the frames were framed out with molding, which means when you took the molding off, you saw behind the windows. All of my windows are drywalled in. They're framed into the drywall, which means I have to like tear apart my wall to remove it. Never done that before. So that's why, that's the only reason.
It's not out of your realm of capability, though.
It's not. It's just one of those like stay in your lane things. Like I can respect when someone does a better job than me. And it's like, is it going to take me 3 weeks and $1,000 or professional 1 day and $1,200? You know, I was just trying to price it out accordingly. But well, most likely I'm doing at least that one window myself. Eventually down the line, I'll probably get some adults to do it for the rest of the house, but not at that price. That's ridiculous. Come on, guys. Get over yourselves. But anyways, enough about the DIY home BS. That's just all so stressful. You know, having Emma at home, it's great. It's fantastic. I love it. But man, does the girl have a lot of ideas about doing stuff around the house, and I want to just make her happy. So
was one of her ideas moving the office around?
So that was my next thing is I had my office, like I had my big office, and where we had that big like fupa thing, like Big Joe, you know, the love sack that we had in there. And it was nice, but that thing was massive. I don't know if you saw the story of me trying to move it out of the room. It barely fit through the door frame. That thing was awesome. Best $200 I ever spent. I had it for 2 years in there and it was comfortable. But
it's a giant beanbag, right?
Yeah, it was a giant beanbag, but we wanted to get a couch in there just so like someone could actually fold out or, you know, whatever, a sleeper couch. So somebody could actually take a nap on it. And we're like tossing around ideas. And then, you know, me and Emma, we work together, but we don't work together ever. Like I'm working during the day. I'm in my office or I'm in a living room. And then she'll go up to her office. And then like throughout the day, we're like, hey, what do you need me to do? I'm like, I can't talk right now. I have a meeting. And then I'm free. And she's like, I'm talking to someone about whatever. Like it's just, we would never align our times. So she kind of brought up the idea, like, what if we combined offices? Would it work in here? And I started like doing math. I'm like, well, no, we wouldn't fit. The two desks won't fit. And then I started like figuring it out that like, you know, if I downsize my desk, if I actually cut away some pieces, I lost 2.5 feet off my desk. Whole 2.5 feet off of like 20 feet. So it wasn't that bad. But I cut it down and we have this like two L-shaped desks. If you haven't seen my stories, there's two L-shaped desks facing each other. I'm literally in this like command center. I've switched walls essentially to the other side. Emma's on the other side here. And this is after she moved in. I moved her all her stuff in. Her table, I set her up for her streams when she's on Zoom and in meetings. She's got her big heart that you can actually see my video. And all her whole pink background. And then you got mine that's more like the purple vibe or whatever. And I'm not going to lie, this is now my favorite room in the house. Having her in here just like changed the vibe in here. We hang out in here all the time. We actually have our meals in here. Like we just have a good old time. I even got an Apple TV because I already had the projector for when we used to play VR in here. So now the projector projects on a wall. So if we want to screen share to the Mac, Apple TV, we're like, hey, can you look at this like project I'm working on? We can screen share and it displays it on the entire wall. It's an 85-inch screen. It's awesome. So it's two offices in a conference room now. It's actually kind of cool. But basically, we're in the same office now. We combine it together, and we've gotten more done in like 3-4 days of being in here together than we did the last like month and a half working together. Because you know when you're in the same space, you just tend to collaborate a lot more. So. That's kind of the end of my rant on that one. I think that's kind of more, the last part was like, I'm in a creative rut. I don't know about you, Dan, but like I think it started pre-holidays and just got really busy with orders. And
mine started in August.
Mine started in like November, like early November. And it's now February and I've posted 4 posts.
I feel like that's one of the driving factors of me messing with AI. And making these t-shirt designs is just, I'm in a creative rut and I need some sort of outlet currently. And, you know, I could give a crap less if people buy t-shirts. I mean, it would be nice if they did, but it's all about me trying to stretch my creative sort of muscle. I need something. I need to do something because I'm doing the same thing over and over. It's becoming very monotonous at this point.
So that brings you joy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get
yes.
it. I get it. I haven't really, I don't know. I think household projects has been filling a gap for me. Because I've been trying to work on like, oh, the business or this or content or whatever. And then like after the holiday rush that I had, like home projects were the things that were like keeping me going. Mm. And I think that's the thing that's keeping me like excited. Because I also have to get new tools for new projects. I'm like, oh, I need to spray this. I got to figure this out. Now it's like, oh, that's an exciting new thing. It's something I don't know. And I'm like, right. I'm spraying paint now. So now I need to get a paint sprayer that's different than the other one. Cause like I could do it with that, but let's get the right tool. So I think getting me outside of my comfort zone is getting me excited again about stuff, but I need to get back into content, man. I've been out of the game.
Yes. And I've been actually trying really hard to do that the last week or so. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've posted reel like you almost have? Every day. If not two reels, and it's been going okay. You know, they're getting some good traction, but man, I have not found anything to post.
It's hard.
Just because everything that I'm doing to keep my Etsy store afloat, it just feels so monotonous and repetitive and blah that I have no idea what to share at this point.
So I was actually thinking about this earlier when you were talking about like, oh, I have no content. Like I'm just doing Etsy orders, whatever. There's an account I follow. They do nothing that I do. It's called Fuzzy Loom Designs. And she does a really good voiceover of all of her like content that she does. And it clicked when you were talking that like, they don't talk about like projects they work on, whatever. It's just like most of the content is them talking about the process of figuring it out, like a voiceover of like, I had this crazy design or like design idea and like, well, you know, did this and you guys had an overwhelming response, or like TikTok shop sucks because like they're shutting us down because of this, blah blah blah. And like they just kind of, they tell a story while they're working on a project that relates to the thing. And I feel like, Dan, your content, like what's most of your life right now? It's fulfillment.
Yes.
Right?
It's 98% fulfillment.
I think you showcasing more of your fulfillment, like whether it's you ranting about not being motivated while you're packing orders for the day, or you talking about how like still haven't figured out what the best hold down situation for my CNC is while you're like cutting out bow ties over and over and over again of different materials in a time lapse. Like, I think that would actually do really well because people do want to see the process. People love the process.
Yeah, you might be right. I'm not saying you're 100% right. Maybe right. Maybe correct.
The internet can't be wrong. People love seeing the process. I would love to see your process too if you talk more about that. You know, kind of gave us the behind the scenes.
I feel like the process is so boring.
Dude.
There's nothing new under the sun from what I'm doing. It's all very basic stuff.
I've mentioned him before and I'll say it again. Look at Four Eyes Designs. Like Four Eyes or whatever is the full hand.
Chris.
Chris. Yeah. But like, I was trying to think of the whole full title. So he rarely does he actually talk about what he's doing in a shot. He's just talking about the project and his life and like the idea he had and like how it failed or whatever, and like that like looks kind of silly, or like, oh, I don't like this part anyways. Like, it's just kind of monologuing over the content.
I don't think you understand how much talent that takes right there.
Dan, do you
that's you a talent, talent in it that no that's a talent in and of itself to be able to do that, to be able to monologue and be able to talk through something like that.
I've heard you do voiceovers. They sound great. Why don't you do more of it?
Oh, goodness.
You coward.
Yes, I'm a coward. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be 100% honest.
Dude, lean into the voiceovers. Right now, that's mainly what I do is I just spit out voiceovers. I don't know. But Try doing voiceovers. Like tell a story of what you're doing.
We'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling tomorrow after this. We'll see.
Try it. If I see some more voiceovers, I'll be happy.
All right.
People want to see the process. I'm just saying. That's it. That's my thing.
Creative. The people don't always know what they want, though, to be honest.
That is true. I mean, here's the thing. At the end of the day, there's some accounts sometimes, like we'll send it to each other and we're like, how is this content? But you know what? Yeah. It's got 1 million views. I guess this is relatable, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So you never know. All right. Why don't we get into questions?
Do we have questions?
We do have a couple questions.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think we should play this.
Oh, Black Betty. Ram lamb.
I guess that's our questions thing. Let's see. I think this one's from Thomas.
Our French friend?
Thomas.
Our French friend?
I did my first install in a client's home last Monday and it went well. Let's say I'll remember it. Can you share your first installation or delivery at a customer or just a funny or bad story you remember? Now, I'm sure you wonder what happened to me. So I'm building and installing a 2x5 meter bookshelf. That's, I think, 6.5 feet and 16 feet. And that morning, I had to install the first half of it. So I opened my garage door from the inside, start loading my car, and when done, as usual, I close the door from the inside, and while the door closes, I go outside so I can go in from the front door. I always do like that because it's faster than going from the inside of my house. Well, this morning I must have been tired because I forgot that I left the front door closed and I don't have the transmitter to open the garage door because I opened it from the inside. So, yep, I locked myself out. Not a problem. My mother have a double of the keys, so I called her, and tried to open the door when I realized I left my keys in the lock from the inside. And I have this kind of lock where you can't open it if there is already a key in. At this point, I'm very annoyed, if not stressed and depressed, and I don't have any money, nor my driver's license, or even a coat, for that matter, and it was raining a lot. But I still have my car keys and all I need to install the bookshelf. So I went to my client's home looking like a homeless guy. And once done, I went back home and managed to open my door using my mother's keys and a hammer by tapping lightly on it for like 5 minutes. And it made my key fall from the other side. So yeah, as I said, I won't forget this first. All right, have a good podcast. Bye.
That was the most gentle way to open a door with a hammer, but just to tap the key out. So if you didn't follow this, Thomas was doing an install for a client. He came out of his garage because he was just going to go back in and close the garage because he was going to go back in through the front door. He left the keys in the front door with the door locked, which means he couldn't get in. He had no key fob. He couldn't open his garage. All he had is his car keys. So he ended up doing an install looking like a homeless man. That sounds like a pretty rough install, bud.
I haven't had that rough of an install, but I've had some pretty rough installs.
Well, what's your worst? And we've heard some of them on this podcast. But what's your worst or first or... I guess he
it feels like
worst.
Every time I do a client install on location at the client's house, feels like if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Like, I feel really confident in the fact that I know what I'm doing. But whenever I swear to gosh, every time I do a client install, whatever can go wrong could possibly go wrong, it will go wrong. And it makes me look like a bozo in front of the client. And then they start questioning, oh God, can this guy do what we asked him to do? Have we made a mistake? Case in point, Just right off the top of my head, I think last summer, I don't know, it's been some time, I installed some faux beams in a client's house. Yes. Okay. And like, they weren't exactly how I thought they were going to be, so I had to improvise on the spot, and it became a whole shit show.
They look like, good at the end.
They look good at the end, but what should have been a 30-minute install, because I had everything planned out, right, in my head, on paper. Well, let's be honest, everything was in my head. Everything should have been perfect. Everything should have been easy. I think I had Braden with me from Little Bug Woodworking. I think. And luckily so, because what should have been a 30-minute job became like a 4-hour job. Like it shouldn't have been that hard. And that happens to me every single freaking time I do a client install. I feel like something should be easy, and I think that I've figured everything out. I've mapped everything. I've got all my eggs in a basket, and you get there and you start working, and it's like, oh my goodness, how did I overlook that?
What was I thinking?
It really, like, I'm really starting to think that, you know what, maybe in-person client installs, not my thing. You know,
to each their own. What about you? That's somebody's bread and butter, but like, yeah, it's not for me.
You know, it's stressful, especially if the client is right there watching your every move, because you're in their house and you're doing work, right? And yeah, they're just like hovering over you, and it just adds that level of like stress. It's awful.
I know what you mean.
I can't do it.
Dude, I love the TikToks of people that are like, "What am I just a guy working in my house on plumbing. Like, what do I do? Do I stand there? Do I like do I go in the other room? Right. Do I just ignore? Do I leave the house? Like, what? I don't know, but then I'm scared cuz it's a stranger. So like, what do you do? I think it's just as awkward for the customer in many cases, right, as it is for the person installing, but like, what are you supposed to do?
I feel like it would probably like serve you well if you went, you know what, I'm gonna be honest, you watching me like that is actually make me nervous and I'm gonna f up, so maybe go in the kitchen, have a cup of coffee, and leave me alone.
I used to jokingly say, for me to do it, 100, you to watch, 150, for you to help, 200.
Oh yeah, and I totally get that. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, just aha, we're laughing, but like, no, leave. You know,
no, serious. Get laughing, the heck out of here.
That's not happening. So my worst install story was my first, and it wasn't that so much went wrong with the customer or whatever. It wasn't a customer. It was an ex girlfriend's family cabin in the Poconos, and I was like, oh, I've been doing like 2x4 furniture and like projects out of like small plywood or whatever. Oh, how much do you want for this job? I'll do it for $200. Because back then sheets of plywood cost like $20. Like nice, like cabinet grade plywood, $20 for a 4x8 sheet. So I bought 2 sheets of that. With that money, I was like, oh, I'm going to buy a router. So I got my first router, my Porter cable that's still in my my router table. And I got that and my Craig jig. And I think I bought my miter saw that same time, or circular saw, one of those, whatever. So I make these cabinets for the kitchen. So we were like talking for a while, and we would go to the house and visit there. And the kitchen always didn't have enough storage. So I wanted to build cabinets. I'm like, oh, I'll build it for the cost of the material, basically. And they're like, yeah, sure. Because they were adults and they knew that like, this kid's dumb. Cabinets don't cost $200. They cost 200 like each plus install plus countertop. So anyways, I built these cabinets like dead nut square. Like everything was perfect. But this is the first time I've done a built-in. I've never up until this point, it was all, we're talking like, I want to say 15 years ago. Yeah, I was about 18, 19, I was like 19, 20 years old. So about 15 years ago.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 1920.
No. 1920 really? Year was 1920, Shunny.
I didn't realize you were that old.
I have never done a built-in. All I've done to that point was like small wood projects, plywood projects, and like you know, 2x4 furniture, whatever, back when I was first learning. And it was my, it was like so eye-opening because I build this thing. It's dead on. I checked every angle. I checked with even with string just to be like, oh, it's the same. Everything's squared off. Perfect. I put it in his house. One side is flat up against the wall on top, quarter of an inch gap halfway down, flat up against the bottom. The other side, bottom, flat up against the wall, top, half inch off the wall. I was like, what is happening? This is an old cabin in like Pennsylvania, an A-frame old cabin.
Oh, sat. Yes, yes.
The floor had gaps in it. I was mortified. I was terrified. I was like, "How? What do you mean? What do you mean the floors aren't square? What do you mean the exactly. walls aren't square?"
I was gonna bring this up if your story didn't end this way. Like that, I feel like that's a very common mistake for beginners. You're assuming that all the interior walls yeah. are square and everything.
Dude,
it's not the case at all.
And it was drywall. It wasn't even plaster. It was drywall. But I was like, "Oh my god! None of the walls are square. None of this is." So I literally I think at the time I like fastened it to the 2x4. So it was as flat as you could up against the wall, but the whole thing was slightly cocked, but you couldn't tell by the countertop that was on it. So oh, it's like, oh, they won't notice. It's fine. It's fine. But oh my God, first time I learned, and it was like the extreme example. It wasn't just a regular house where you're like having to scribe an eighth inch gap somewhere or whatever. Like I've seen what Keith does. I've helped him with installs and he just does, oh, beautiful work. Like he really dials everything in. This was, we're talking chasms from one end to the other. Dude, like I had three of the four corners touching, but the one had like a half inch gap. And my brain just literally didn't know what to do. I was like, I almost broke down crying. I was like, I did such a terrible job, whatever. And that was like, after that, I'm like, I'm never doing installs again. This is terrible.
I feel like I don't trust I've been holes. There. I know I've been there. I feel like it's been so long that I've blocked it all out.
We all learned that one first time and you were like, oh crap. Like this is awful. I need to account for this next time.
But if I remember correctly, I did it the first time and I was like, oh gosh, nothing's square. But I didn't really learn because it took me two or three times before I realized, oh, nothing's square ever.
Nothing's square ever. Yeah. It's not this house. It's every house. Yeah.
It's every framer, every wall dryer. Wall dryer?
Yeah. A wall dryer. I'm just imagining a guy whose job is like one guy sanding, the other one's drying the wet mud with a dryer.
What is the name of that? Oh my gosh.
Drywaller.
Drywaller. There we go.
Just flip the words.
Oh my goodness. It's every drywaller, every framer on the planet. Nothing square ever.
Yeah.
You can't assume.
It's every drywaller's dry dream.
You can't assume that anything like that in any house, even a modern house, is square.
Yeah, it was, you know, like, and the thing is, like, you know, we talk about this because, like, not that we're like, oh, we're on this, like, level. We don't do installs, whatever. So, like, there's guys that deal with some crazy stuff out there.
I'm not a good installer.
But it's, the thing is, like, it's one of those things that we take for granted now, knowing it. Like, we all know that, like, there's no way even a big picture frame is going to be flat up against the wall in all corners and everything. Like, we know that the walls are going to be a little off, but not everyone does.
You have to
learn
to take steps in figuring that out, though.
We have listeners that are, like, they've never done an install, even in their own house or whatever. They make projects, they make whatever. Like, oh, table or stool, four legs, they're level. Good, cool. But then you take that table, slide it up against the wall, and suddenly one corner is touching, the other one's touching, the center's off. What's going on? It's like, it's because the house. It's not you. You're great. You're beautiful. You're perfect. Keep going. But the house sucks. Drywallers.
Wall dryers.
Wall dryers. Keep listening. Don't ever stop listening. But y'all suck.
No, it's not the drywallers. It's the framers. I blame the framers, man. No, framers don't give a crap.
I blame the loggers.
They don't care. The loggers?
Yeah, okay. They're not picking them for the most straight logs. No, they're just going for any of them.
All right, it's got to be somebody's fault. It's definitely not my fault.
I blame the people that plant the trees that become those. The logs, yeah. Those guys are the worst. How dare they replenish a forest? Sorry, that was a long way to say that. Like, drywall sucks.
Bottom line is, I probably have stories, but they're so bad and they were so long ago that I've blocked them out.
Yep. All right. Next question. We're gonna do. Let's do this one. Let's do Randy next. Randall from Expensive, Connecticut.
Hey guys, it's Randy up here in the very expensive Connecticut. I have a question for you guys. I was listening to the We Built a Thing podcast, and on one of their older episodes, they were talking about dealing with trolls. And Mark had said he wants to build a beautiful walnut table and paint it white. I was wondering, if you guys could troll the trolls, what would you do? And how far would you take it to the point where it becomes almost too far? Great podcast. Love it. Bye, guys.
Oh, Dan, do you want to start with this one? I feel like it's a topic you might have some experience with.
Oh, yeah. I feed the trolls whenever I can, actually. I mean, let's be honest. They're great for engagement. And they're so, you know, the more you can get people to comment on your stuff on any social platform, it's actually good for the quote-unquote algorithm. So every now and then I try to feed the trolls. I do have some ideas on things I want to do in the future someday whenever I have time, which is, you know, it's affectionately called troll bait. I'm only going to do it to feed the trolls. I don't want to give away all those ideas because I think they're fantastic and they're unique. So maybe someday.
Pocket hole painted walnut.
Yeah, I mean, with the painted walnut, I mean, you're really just trolling other woodworkers at that point.
It's
right?
So Baloy 2022, whatever.
I mean, other woodworkers have problems with it. I feel like 75% of them understand exactly what you're doing. There are going to be some outliers. Obviously, it's the internet. For instance, I have in the past, I made a like a hidden bookcase door, right? And if you go back far enough in my page, you can find where I initially posted it, and I was proud of it because it had a kind of different design, and I was doing something
Murphy
a little
door,
different,
right?
Yeah, I don't know if. Yeah, it was a Murphy door, I guess.
I want to say that launched your career.
It really did.
On Instagram, I think it was the first of the trolley Dunlap. That's when you like, oh, whoa,
yeah,
your powers.
And I at the time I posted it just because I was proud of the moment. It wasn't exactly done yet, but I was proud of the moment and the milestone that I made, and all the trolls. All of them came out of the woodwork, no pun intended. And I realized, you know, oh gosh, that's really like getting all the comments here. So I've reposted it and I've refed those trolls several times. In, you know, the first time I posted it, it got like several million views, and the second time I posted it, you know, with the same kind of caption trying to troll bait the trolls, and it's got like 12-15 million views. So like I will go after the trolls. I mean, if you got a thick skin, which I do not, sometimes I do not have a thick skin, but I can have a thick skin whenever like it comes to something like this. It can help a lot, you know. I mean, it's probably looked down upon in the community, but you know what? We're all trying to grow. We're all trying to get as much traction as possible. So I'll take whatever roads I can take to get to the point that I'm trying to get to. So I've had several posts like that. Not only the door, but there have been a couple. There was one where I had to put a straight line on a piece of walnut, and I used a level that was not attached, and I got ripped in the comments there. But you know what? Engagement. Thank you. Yeah. Pete, do you have anything to add to this? I feel like I'm just rambling at this point.
No, that's fine. So, like, you know, as much as I want to kind of troll people, because sarcasm is my second language. That's a lie. It's Ukrainian, but whatever. Sarcasm is my fifth language, whatever. So I want to be sassy, but then there's that, like, I'm still at the stage in my life where, like, I crave validation. So I don't want to, like, piss off the internet.
We all kind of crave validation one way or another.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, that's why we're online.
Like, I'm not at the level of Dan. Like, Dan's on a whole different level. And the other thing, like, when it goes back to the whole, like, you're talking about, like, actual making projects specifically with the idea of, like, this is going to piss off people, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, and I got ideas for that.
I find myself to be in an unfortunate position of, or fortunate position of, like, I have a day job, I have other things, and I'm very firm on the, I work this hard so I can play somewhat hard. So, like, when I do make sure that I have some time to rest every single day. I don't do this whole hustle culture, like, killing myself constantly, because I did that for years and it was terrible. So, like, the free time that I do have to get in a shop and just work on creative stuff, or for the lulls, or for the trolls, there's not a lot of that. It's kind of a bummer because I don't have time to, like, work on, like, passion projects or troll projects or whatever. It's anytime I have in there has to be at least somewhat productive, you know, aside from, like, late night when I'm just, like, drinking beer and cleaning up the shop. So, like, that's shop time, but that's different. That's therapeutic. That's our therapy, right, Dan? Like,
right,
when you're out there, exactly, just cleaning up the shop at, like, midnight, blasting music or YouTube video or something.
Listening to Creed, baby.
Listening to Creed on full blast. I think that's the reason I don't do it. That being said, I fessed this up to Dan a couple weeks ago, and I'll share it with you guys since you guys are followers or listeners. If AWP ever leaves you, like, the actual AWP Instagram account ever leaves you an extra sassy, or, like, just extra sassy or smart-ass comment, it's probably me. I had this dumb idea, like, a couple months ago, and I'm like, what if, like, AWP was, like, the Wendy's of the internet, where they just, like, tell you your mom is fat, like, and it's fine because that's just Wendy's, you know?
Just gonna leave you a sassy comment. Yeah, your mom's so, like, a fat. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but, like, you know, you gotta stay within the line of, like, appropriate. Because, like, there's sometimes, like, I'll say, like, that's crazy, and then Instagram's like, you sure you want to post that? You know, like, you said crazy. Like, yeah, no, I said crazy cool. But, so if you ever get a sassy comment from AWP, give it right back, because it's on purpose. It's not one of us, it's the podcast as a whole, speaking to you and your mom. It's
definitely not me.
So, but yeah, like, there's just... It's a bummer because I do want to do some sassy stuff, and because that's what gets the views. It's the stuff, the controversy, it's weird stuff.
Gets the people going.
Gets the people going. And it, or, like, a mistake, or like, I have a video that, like, half the comments of, like, 150 comments, half the comments were, you said the same word twice, but referring to different things.
Remember when you painted the wall paneling?
Oh, my God.
In your old house?
I'm going to do a week of just reposts. I'm just going to post reposts, see how that does. Yeah, I painted a wall, like, brown.
Your old paneling. 70s wood paneling. Oh. You painted over it and people lost their minds.
Internet got real mad, especially in the Middle East. Real weird. I don't know why. Whatever.
But you never know what's going to piss off the internet.
You never know what's going to pop off. Exactly.
You really don't.
Also, remember how, like, you went viral with, like, a million views back then was, like, you're going up 10K. Now you get didn't Dre get like 65 million views on her dipped rose and she went up like 15K? That's bonkers.
I have no idea how far she's got up. She's got up quite a bit.
Like now, like unless you hit 2 million minimum, you don't expect any growth. It's crazy. How Instagram's so broken.
So this is a little tangent, but
go.
I have been hemorrhaging followers over on Instagram like crazy. Really? Yeah, I've been stuck at 105,000 followers for like well over a year. Isn't
that funny? We were like flying up and then wall.
Oh, I was flying up and then
bleed actually. It starts going down the other way.
And I've been 105 for like well over a year and now like it's just kind of slowly going down. I just cracked to 104,000 followers and I've been trying to like post new content.
I just hit 102, you know? So I got you. I went from 103 to 102.
I have no idea what's going on. So
it's my pride.
Whatever.
Dude, whatever. I mean, listen, it beats what was it back in the summer or something where I was fighting. I'm talking daily posts, multiple being in a double K digits, like 10,000, 20,000, 80,000, some at 100,000, a couple going viral. I was barely staying above 1K. I'm sorry, 100K. Like I was literally like, still bleeding every single day
right
off of their eye. It was crazy.
I feel like this is a kind of a oh woe is me moment, like where we should be grateful for what we have. Oh, yes,
very grateful. And a community.
I'm super grateful, but it's kind of disheartening to see that, you know, you haven't changed anything in over a year, and no matter what you do, it's like, man, what do I gotta do to get this to change in a positive way. Meanwhile, I see other awesome creators like Logan over at Newman Specials Woodworks, yep, or Thomas over at Thomas Custom Creations, or
200K, 300K. Yeah, Radix at like 300K or something.
Crushing!
Because they're consistent and they put in the work and they might fly low under the radar sometimes, but like they're consistent. These guys are
Michael Herling, he's crushing it over
there.
These guys
are doing an awesome job and we're so proud of them. Listen, we've talked about this in the past about like the primal reaction you get at first and then the realistic reaction.
Oh, yeah.
The primal is like, oh, F that guy. I could
do it. I stand by my like, primal reaction for most of those guys. You know, screw them all. Screw them all.
But like the first reaction is like, I'm going to give him the finger.
If I see him at WorkbenchCon, I'm giving them the finger and they're just going to walk away.
That's part of the hug for me.
Yeah. You
get the hug, finger. So, anyway. But yeah, no, it's the primal reaction is always like, F that guy. I could do better, whatever. Like, what do they have that I don't? They have consistency, Peter.
They have consistency. And better content. Oh, yeah, I guess that makes
sense. Yeah, there's I could have better content, too, if I had a Craig pocket hole jig. Whatever. what's the opposite of a domino? But that's the truth. You
nailed it.
Yeah. So, anyways, we'll go off that. But congrats to all the people that are doing well. It's an inspiration. Again, primal reactions like, F that guy. But then it's like, that's freaking awesome. We came up with that guy. We came up with all those guys, and now they're killing it. One day, us. All right. Now let's listen to this voicemail from a first-time caller, Jack. There it is. Okay, let's play it.
Definitely. This is Jack, and I have a question about spraying paint and finishes. I do 8-layer laser items, and each layer has its own shade of paint. I paint a full sheet of plywood at a time. Right now, I'm using a 6-inch roller, but that takes forever, and I hate it. I have the Wagner Flexio 4000 or whatever it is, and it's fine, but it leaves particles in the air. I work in my garage in Minnesota, so spraying outside, especially in the winter, is not viable. How can I spray my paints in my garage without getting a ton of overspray on all my tools and other things? Thanks for the help.
I'm going to pause it right here for a second because there's more to this call. And I just want to point out that in the beginning of this, after he said 8-layer items, I paused in a pre-show and was like, Dan, this sounds like Horn Dog, like Mitch Hale. He's got the deep baritone voice. He's spraying 8 layers. It literally sounds just like him, but I don't know who Jack is. Anyways, let's listen to the rest of this.
Also, last week you were talking about AI and I disagree. I'm coming for your job. I was generated by a computer by Mitch from Horned Dog Maps, but you had no idea until now. Have fun being stuck in the past, you meatbag losers.
Yo, I've never been so happily trolled by someone. Speaking of trolls. So genuinely in a pre-show, I'm like, this, I pause it. And I'm like, this sounds just like, oh, and I was like blanking on it. And Dan's like, Mitch Hill. I'm like, yeah, Horn Dog, Mitch Hill. I'm like, it sounds, it's deep baritone voice. He's talking about spraying nine layers of laser cut stuff. It sounds just like him. Jack does the same stuff. And 30 seconds later, he drops that bomb on me. I
want to know.
Was impressed.
What program he was using, because I want to do it myself.
It had to be one of the ones where like it scans your voice and then records in it. Or he just chose a voice that sounds just like him.
It sounds... Man, I'm going to be honest. He got me. He got me.
Dude, before, got both of us.
He got me.
Listen to the pre-show, because you'll hear the reaction.
Now that I know it's AI, I can hear the subtle roboticness.
Now, yes.
But it's so good. And I want to know.
He made a custom email for Jack and all that stuff. He signed it, Jack, and we're like, oh, yeah, someone new called in. So,
wow, a new caller.
I respect the heck out of you. That was, you guys.
Damn it, Mitch.
But anyways, as far as spray shelters go, Dan, you wanna take this? You spray a lot. What's your spray shelter?
I don't have a spray shelter. You don't. I really have no good options as far as that goes. I'm probably the worst person to give advice on this. I spray a lot of lacquer, even in the winter, and my system is probably awful. And Suman will probably like chastise me. I set everything up near the garage door and I point a fan towards it. And whenever
Dan's
I spray,
garage door is always open.
Yeah. Even when I was spraying even when it was negative 20 outside. It was awful. It was awful. That's but against, you do what you gotta do.
Against recommendations by the manufacturer, I feel like.
So I would open the garage door, turn the fan on so everything was like blowing outside, spray, let it kind of clear out, shut the door, turn off the fan, let it heat back up. It's not good. It's not, my system is not good. I mean, if you have the means to make an actual shelter of some sort with good ventilation, please do that. Don't do what I do. Don't practice what I preach, not what I do, sort of thing. Pete, save me.
Yeah, no, 100%. So, like, I spray in my two-car garage, and when I try to spray, I spray with the heat on. Now, this time of the year, obviously. In the summer, I would have the AC on just to take the humidity out of the air. But spraying outside, yeah, it works, but it takes way longer to cure, especially once it's below, like, 55.
Oh, yeah,
outside. Sure. So what I do is for smaller items, I actually will build some kind of shelter. And then I have a 20x20 fan, 20x20x1 inch air filter that gets attached to my box fan. Then I have it kind of funneled. So that's running on high pulling air. So it's a negative air chamber pulling everything towards that fan filter. And I'm spraying in there, whether it's spray paint or finish. If it's smaller items, if it's bigger items, it's basically I run my air purifier, and honestly, I really should be getting some kind of more of like a higher particulate, a VOC type filter on.
Yeah,
that's so
you have the same air purifier that I do. I
mean, and it does help.
That's more for dust particulates, not VOC.
But I gotta say, when I spray and if I run that, it does help. But man,
it does
is it not gonna
it
get
does,
rid of it
because I use it too.
Water
I put it
based,
on full blast.
I have just recently, I sprayed water-based general finishes for the first time ever. And I was like, holy smokes. I have never sprayed water-based before. All I've sprayed is rattle can, lacquer or paint, and then sprayed lacquer with the Fuji. And oil-based finishes are, oh my God, they smell. Like lacquer, yeah, it smells like apple pie, but it still smells. Like it's VOCs. So being able to spray a water-based finish, it just... There's still VOCs, don't be fooled, but it's not as aggressive on you. What I would try to do, because of the level or the amount of stuff that you're doing, because you do a ton of stuff, is you want to build some kind of a spray shelter with a negative air setup. Negative air meaning there's a fan, in your case, probably two fans or more, but just get cheap box fans with some filters and have them pointed away. So they're blowing air away from you and they're pulling as much of that air out as possible. So Wobie Designs had like a shelter that was up against the wall, and he would like prop it up and pop legs underneath it. And it was like plastic all the way around that would just drop off of it.
It's like a giant shower curtain.
Yeah. Recently somebody did one that was like the size of like a one car garage in their shop. It was kind of going around Instagram as like a viral video. You want to try to make a spray room or spray shelter or a spray box if you can. It doesn't even have to be that big, but as long as there's enough CFMs or air moving through that space negatively, so pulling fresh air out of your shop, through the painted area, into the filters, getting stuck into filters, and then somewhat clear air coming out, you're going to be in a way better spot than just spraying in your shop. Because then you're clearing out that whole space for the rest of the day. Or that's the other thing you can do, is like do all your work during the day, spray at night, get the heck out of there. You know? But it's not ideal because then the shop still smells the next day. So if you can build a spray booth, like my goal is like if I ever have that shop build, there's going to be a sanding / spraying area. That's just going to be negative air pulling.
If we're talking goals here, yeah. My dream shop would have a dedicated spray booth with all the, you know, requisite filtration and all that other stuff.
And I'm just going to mention this because Coffee had this issue in the past. You want to look at fans. If you're doing like high volume stuff or whatever, and you're not using filters, fans that are explosion proof, that are literally designed for ventilating VOC areas, because those fans can get hot and they can actually start a fire. But if you're using box fans with filters, you're fine. But if you're like actually setting up like a spray room that's completely sealed off, you want to make sure your fan is safe to use. That's something that's actually standard in the industry. So do some research on that. But at the very least, negative airspace, whether it's a box, big box or something, get in there. Save your lungs, man.
Right on.
All right, I think we got one more question. Quick one. Maddox Woodworks. AI? Yeah, so question for the show. What are your favorite CNC work holding options? I just got my Onefinity Elite Foreman, and it will be we'll be starting the table build / assembly soon. So Dan, what is your favorite CNC hold down option?
I have landed on Rockler makes these really great inline T-track clamps, and I can't remember exactly what they call them.
So you have T-tracks in your table?
I have T-tracks in my CNC table. So like every 6 inches, I have T-track. And in between the T-tracks, I have MDF. And on the outside, on the far left, and on the edge closest to you, I have a solid piece of, I think I have white oak currently because it's just really
fancy.
Solid.
Okay. All
right. And I have that screwed down so that I could butt everything up right into that corner. And I use that far front left corner, not far, closest front left corner as like my home for just about everything. And I can clamp everything up to that railing. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Like, so using a fence on an L fence.
I'm using an L fence, basically, yes.
And then you're pushing with these like clamps.
Inline. T-track. Rockler has a name for them. And I know Armor, whatever.
Armor's got a set too. I know exactly what you're talking about. Basically, there's like a knob that you turn and it tightens up.
It tightens them down and then you clamp it down and it's kind of like a cam clamp, but it's not. Yeah.
It does like the last eighth of an inch. It's just like,
yes, it just, it's just holding it there. It's got a rubber head on it. It's really good. I like them. And if you run into them and you run your bin into them, no big deal. It's not going to destroy anything because they're rubber. So that's what I use. And I've been using that since nearly day one. And I have no reason to change things up at this point. The only times I ever like
change anything is when I need to replace the clamp because I've run a bit into it more times than I should have, which is more often than I'd like to, you know, tell you about. What about you?
So for me, it depends on what I'm doing. I'll still sometimes go back to the whole putting tape down, CA glue, and then tape again, and then putting my piece on top of that. Because then you can rip it up and the tape pulls up.
That's a great option.
Or double stick tape.
But if you're doing a lot of volume like mm-hmm. I'm doing, that gets really pricey.
Yep.
It gets really pricey for us because the double stick tape is not cheap. It's great. It's great. And you can make it go far. But if you're doing high volume like what I'm doing, it'll get pricey really fast because that double stick tape is like $20 for a roll, which... Yep. You can make that roll last a long time if you're not doing a whole lot.
It'll eat it up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really quick.
One of the other things that I tend to actually use a lot more than I thought I would initially, to the point where my brad nailer, I have a Ryobi battery-powered brad nailer, it hangs on my CNC. So what I'll do is, like, if I have a larger piece and I know I have, like, waste pieces where I know there is waste, I will just take that piece of wood or plywood, I'll brad nail it right to the CNC bed because it's MDF. And by the way, my whole bed is, there's no T-track. I have a quarter 20 T-nuts from the bottom. And I have a file that's made that's like, it carves the bottom. It carves out the spot for the holes. So I just basically press into the T-nuts, flip it over, attach it to the table with some screws that are countersunk. So I'm able to mount something every, I think mine is 2 inches or every 2.5 inches.
Yeah, and you did that for my CNC when I first got it, I remember.
Yes, yeah.
And I ended Lee's. Up not liking it.
I did it for Lee's, Nick Pachi's CNC too. Like, we have the file. Yeah. By the way, Nick, if you need the file, let me know. I think I still have it. Or Lee has it. But anyways, so I'll brad nail right into the MDF. I tend to use that quite a bit for like one-off projects. But if I was doing production, anytime I'm trying to get a batch of something out, what I end up doing is I have Petrie's Workshop actually makes a bunch of like L fences that are 3D printed where if you run a bit into it, it's not the end of the world because it just chews away the plastic. So I'll use those instead of like Dan has the big fence along the whole thing, I just put it where I need it. So whether it's in the center, on the right side, it doesn't matter. Put an L fence, I have a big and a small, and then a couple of rails. And then I have like the old school Ben Myers MDF cut like cam clamps. So like these things got like designed like way back in the day before I even got into like CNC work. Ben Myers designed them. They were for the Shapeoko to be cutting carbide 3D like way back in the day. And I still have the file and I cut them once in a while. I'm like, you know what? They work. Little MDF pieces in a cam. And then our buddy Justin just recently released another cam thing. So it's like a hexagon with offset sizes on each side. So depending on how far you need to clamp, you just rotate the part and then you clamp the actual handle down.
And that'll work in the T-track that I use.
Yep.
Exactly. Or the system Pete uses with the
bolts.
All the
Ultra T-track. Either one works.
Yeah.
And he sells the file and stuff. Go check it out. I saw the documentation that comes with it. It gives you all the instructions, parameters, how to print it, how to assemble it, what screws to use. He did a really good job with it. Actually, I'll link it in the show notes to give him a shout out.
And the clamps from Rockler that I use are called Auto Lock T-Track clamps.
Send me the link. Text me the link. I'll throw it in the notes.
All right.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of cool options. Honestly, for me, if I had to choose one that I use the most, brad nail in the corners. And sometimes you can even, by the way, if you're doing a big project and you don't know where the empty spaces are going to be, quote unquote, where no bit is going to hit, I've even run a profile, or not a profile, but like a dot thing. So I'll take a V bit and it'll just boop where the bit is not going to go. And I'll just throw a brad nail in there. And then I'll run my job because I know the brad nails are not going to get hit by the CNC. And if they do, by the way, they survive. The bits survive. They're not going to break. It's just a brad nail.
Right.
Yep. That's, I think, it, Dan.
Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing we have left is to thank our patrons.
Do we have to do that?
We don't necessarily.
We should probably do that.
I think we should.
We should probably do that.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Hey. Patron. Hey. Thank you to our patrons. You make all this possible. We appreciate every one of you. If you want to join the Met Army, as we lovingly call it, you can go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast and get signed up over there. We offer this podcast early if you're really that big of a fan. We also offer, if you're a VIP patron, you know, you can get a t-shirt if we get around to it. Other things. So go check it out. We'd appreciate it. If you do not want to help us financially, or you can't, you can always share the show. We appreciate that as well. Every little bit helps. Tell your friends and neighbors, your family members, your Aunt Susie, your Uncle Bob, your Grandma Carla. Uncle
Bob.
If you don't have any family, you don't have any friends, just drive down the street with a large sign telling people to listen to Another Woodshop Podcast. That would be nice as well. As far as that goes, I don't have anything else to say. Pete, do you have anything you want to add?
I think that's it. We're going to have some exciting guest couples over the next 2 weeks. So just stay tuned. We'll probably drop some more info earlier in the week or middle of the week next week. Because they're both going to be on, but we're just trying to figure out.
Eventually.
It's to tease it, it's Pat and Carlina from Sawdust Gypsy and Pine Bear and Pallet Works and MakerFest. And just little known accounts, some up-and-comers. Keith Johnson from KJ Sawdust and Jason Hibbs. I almost said Bourbon Hibbs. Jason Hibbs from Bourbon Moth is going to be
Bourbon Hibbs from Jason Moth.
So we're basically going to be doing another Shop Sounds podcast mashup where the both of them are going to be on.
This has been a long time coming. We're
not on their podcast. They're on ours.
Is that how we're pitching it?
Okay. And then we can release it to everyone. It'll be fun.
All right.
So, but our version will be
a
better.
Collab of sorts.
Yeah. It's almost like we're all collaborators.
Right on.
Anyways, see y'all next week. Love you. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Love you long time.
Bye-bye. Even a Dunlap can do it.